adjust this. Can you all hear me all right?
Yep.
All right. So as he mentioned, we are the Holes. Is that up? I can't really see it. Perfect. So we're the Holes, and that's my wife. My name's Harold. That's my wife, Christine. Our son, Harold, he's the fifth. Our daughter, Serenity, the older one. And then our newest addition, her name is Dahlia. She was born at the end of September. And so like you said, we're the Holes, and we are with Ethnos 360. We are heading, Lord willing, if you could pray with us in this way, we're hoping to be in Papua New Guinea this September. Our paperwork, our visas, everything's approved, everything's there. We're on the waiting part of just connecting with churches, individuals, and getting our support up. So if you get our updates, you probably saw that last we mentioned we're at 58%. Picture of Papua New Guinea, it's beautiful there. And so unfortunately, our mission organization has upped all the support amounts. So we went from 58% down to 51%, not because people dropped us, but because inflation and things are just expensive. We all know that. So if, as you can see, our total monthly amount is $9,849 a month. That's to be in Papua New Guinea. We're at $5,015 a month. So praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's not a small amount, and we are very thankful for that. So if you could just pray in that way, one big way, I mean, we all know we can support missionaries financially, prayerfully, but one big way you could support us is advocating for us. I don't know if you know that you could be an advocate to another individual or if you're connected to another church, and it doesn't even have to be in Connecticut. We've traveled quite a bit, so if you're connected through family, through friends, to any other churches, we would greatly appreciate it if you would be able to connect us to that. And if you're like, I don't even know who these people are, who are the Holes, what are they going to go do, here's a short video a church did of us in Michigan. It gives a pretty good overview, and so here that is. Hi, my name is Harold. This is my wife, Christine. This is Serenity, Harold, and our third one is on the way, due in October. And we are the Holes. We are missionaries with Ethnos 360 and heading to Papua New Guinea to be church planters. We were both challenged by the Lord to be involved with missions. I was challenged when I was 16 and Christine when she was 18. We both attended a program called Wayumi. Wayumi is a short weekend program that Ethnos 360 runs in Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. And it exposes you to the reality and the need that exists around the world. It was there that we heard that there are still people groups that still never heard about God and what His Son did for them. It was heartbreaking to hear that there are still people who have never heard the hope and the love story that is the Bible. It broke our heart, as it should, because we know it breaks God's heart, because we know He desires all to know Him and what His Son did for each and every single person. Hearing and knowing that there are still over 2,000 people groups, over 2,000 unique languages, over 2,000 unique cultures that have never heard what Christ did for them. Between 30 to 40% of the world still has never heard what God did for them. After hearing this, man, we left there passionate. We left there convinced that this was something we wanted and needed to be a part of, because it's what our God is doing. And He is actually asking us to do it with Him. Man, we want to live this life for Him, not for our dreams, aspirations, and desires, but for His. This is what He told the church to do. And we have the honor, privilege, and the responsibility to take part in it. One of the last things Jesus said to His closest friends, His disciples, was to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people. And here we are, as the church, over 2,000 years later, and still not doing what He told us to do. We as a family, we're planning to take part in reaching the nations. There are so many different countries with so many different needs. And the Lord has continued to lead our family to go to Papua New Guinea and share the love story that is the Bible. To share this message of truth, hope, life, and love with a people group that have lived and died believing Satan's lies, living in complete darkness. our God wants none to perish. He wants all to know about Him and what His Son did on their behalf. We want to make His name known among the nations. It takes the church to make disciples of every nation, every people group, and see a thriving church there. We cannot do this on our own. We need people who will faithfully pray for us, advocate for us, encourage us, financially support us, and join us, and join God as we go to make His name known to the nations. If you would like to know more about us, more about Ethnos 360 and what God is doing in Papua New Guinea, we would love the opportunity to come and share with you, with your friends, your family, with your small group, or even with your church. We would love to connect with you and encourage you and answer any questions you might have. Lastly, we were challenged with this, and we will challenge you with it as well. When thinking of the lost, when thinking of these people groups that still have never heard about our God, ask yourself, what if it was you? Wouldn't you want someone to come and share the gospel with you? Wouldn't you want someone to come and share the life-changing news of the God of the universe who cares and loves you deeply? James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor, a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." It was said to us once like this: if what you're living for isn't worth dying for, is it really worth living for? Our life here on earth is so short. Let's live this life in light of eternity. Yeah, so if you want to know more about us and what we're going to do, we have a table set up and you can just come see us. And if you have any questions, we would love to connect with you. And so I think, was it Tim over here who was telling about a little bit of his journey? It's very interesting because it mirrors a lot of what I'm going to be talking about this morning. As believers, how do you walk through this life in the midst of suffering and still consider it joy, still think of our God as good? And so I thought it would be important and beneficial to spend some time looking at the lives of two people who did this very well. Two people from the early church. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 9. That's where we're going to spend the majority of our time. And so as we look, I mean, we're in almost in April. As we're in this new year, we often make plans. We make goals. We set out to things we want to accomplish and things to do. I mean, I think that's a very important practice. It's a good habit to get into making goals, setting plans. And I hope as we go through the passage this morning, I hope you see this topic through God's eyes and what He expects of us as His children. And I hope you see how we should plan, how we should live our lives in light of what God says through his eyes and through His word. And so like I said, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9 this morning. We're going to be starting verse 10. And just to set up where we are. So we all know the story of Paul, and it's his conversion on the road to Damascus. And I just want to highlight a couple verses this morning that I know I personally have glanced over, and maybe you have as well. And I hope we walk away with a better understanding of our role, our responsibility, and our direction in this life, and well, at least what it should be. So to catch us up where we are, Paul, he's on the road to Damascus. He's looking for followers of Jesus Christ to imprison. And guess what? He encounters God himself, the one he's persecuting. And he has this interaction with God on the road. And then we know Paul's blinded. And those that were with him, they lead him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he's fasting, he's praying, waiting for Ananias to come. And so that brings us to our passage this morning. It's Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verses 10 through 16. It says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And so there's many truths, there's many things that we can pull out of this passage. But the first one is going to be in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, he responded, here I am, Lord. And so this here I am, Lord phrase, I personally feel like this is the posture, this is the response, the attitude or the position of a true disciple of God. This should be our natural response, our natural posture toward our God. Like, here I am, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And I think Ananias, I think he's so often like most people, like, who the heck is even, who is Ananias? I mean, it's Paul. Like, but Ananias right here is modeling a true disciple of the Lord. Like, here I am, Lord, what do you have for me? And I think it's a great example of what we also see in James. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. I have it up there. James 1, 19 through 27 is a great passage of scripture, but in James 1:22 it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And as I studied this topic and as I was just studying, I came across this really cool quote. I hope you appreciate it as much as I did. In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, it says, ultimately, the key both to responding to trials and resisting temptation is to be found in one's reaction to God's word. Receptivity to the word, responsiveness to the word, and resignation to the word are essential to spiritual growth. One must accept God's word, act on it, and abide by it. And so this passage, this idea of here I am, Lord, it cements this idea of practicality and doing and acting on how the Spirit is leading us. As he teaches us through his people, through his word, we're called to act on that, not just hear it and do nothing. And so during our training, we had a class called Practical Spirituality. And one of our teachers said this, and I just love it. And in some ways I love it, in some other ways I don't. It says, we are so obese spiritually, but we're starving practically. And he's talking about the greater church, that we're so full of head knowledge, but man, we are just starving practically. And so as the Spirit leads, we need to act on it. We need to let him change us. We need to be men and women of God who are moldable, who are movable and allowing God to change us to look more like who? Jesus, his son. And so the big takeaway, the big correlation here as we move forward in this passage is we see a man whose natural response to God, which is not based on, it's based on who God is and what he says about us, his children. He says, yes, Lord, here I am, Lord. Like, what do you have for me? And I view this statement as a servant in his master. And I realize, man, that is pretty hard for us in our Western individualistic society to even fathom being a servant of someone. I mean, the closest we come to that, I think some of us would like to say our jobs. But the reality is we can leave our jobs at any point. We can stop serving. We can do a poor job. But how often do we see the early church, as they introduce themselves, as they live their lives as bondservants, and we see their character, their natural posture to our God is this bondservant life, this life of here I am.